All right, guys, let's grab our seats this morning. We're going to get going here at the Port. Brad Strelaw, Pastor Brad Keener at the front. That's awesome. Once again, if you have kids with you today, we'd love to have them up the front today. We have a family service. This is going to be more of a kids-oriented message, but Jesus himself said we have to become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's a good thing this morning for us to approach the word with a childlike faith. Let's begin by opening God's word. We're in a series called FaceTime. We're looking at these interactions in the Gospel of John where Jesus Christ himself comes in human flesh and he's having conversations one-on-one with us, with humanity. And we have a lot to learn from these interactions. So would you guys stand? We're going to read from John 6 together and we're going to start from there. So let's open up to John 6 and read together this famous passage. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now, the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes and seeing a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Well, God, we pray this morning that you would lead us through this passage, that you would show us just how powerful you are, Jesus, and that you truly are the answer to every problem we have. In your name we pray, amen. You guys can take a seat. Well, that was a really long Bible passage for the kids here this morning. Really long, and guys, we're going to hear that Bible passage now in a song. So we have a great video. I love this week. It's been in my head. We're going to hear that same Bible passage put to some music to help us understand the story a little better. So let's watch this together.
This is the story of how God used something small to do something great. Our story begins with Jesus.
He was in the countryside, and people came from far and wide to listen as he taught the word of God. The crowd grew till it was great, the day started getting late, but there was one thing that they all forgot. Food! Nobody brought food, and everyone was hungry, but there were too many people to just go out and buy some. So they asked Jesus what to do. Jesus said, "What do you have?" The 12 disciples started asking people in the crowd if they had food. They found some, but it wasn't much. A little boy had brought his lunch, and he gave it for the Lord to use. Yeah, he gave his lunch for the Lord to use. He had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. There was no way that would feed all those men. But Jesus had a plan. He took the fish and loaves of bread, held them up over his head, and blessed the food, giving thanks to God. The food began to multiply, and soon every girl and guy ate all they could. It tasted so good, and there were tons of leftovers for everyone,
especially him.
The little boy gave what he had. It wasn't much to him, but to Jesus it was infinitely, absolutely, positively huge.
And that's the story of how Jesus used 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread to feed thousands of people.
Yeah, awesome. I love that power shot of Jesus where he's blessing the bread, just like, yes! It's just great. That's how I want to imagine Jesus, I think, from now on. Well, we all know this story, right? This is a really famous story. And one of the things that I love about this story is that it's really the only sign in the book of John, and really actually the only miracle that we see where Jesus kind of makes something out of nothing. We have other miracles where he kind of transforms something from something into another thing. A lot of miracles where he heals people. But this is the kind of one miracle where Jesus kind of out of nowhere just makes this food. He multiplies it. It's pretty exciting. So here's the problem. We have 5,000 people, and it actually says 5,000 men. So if all the kids are involved, and if all the women are counted, it was probably closer to 20,000 people were hungry. Why were they hungry? Because Jesus was preaching, he was teaching, they were following him around, it was really, really hot, and everything he had to say was so good that they just went with him, and they didn't even think about stopping for food. And they just followed him all around the lake for hours and hours, and suddenly it gets to a point where they realize, you know what, we're starting to get a little bit hungry. This sermon is kind of getting quite long, and he doesn't seem to be stopping. And they seem to just be getting hungrier and hungrier. And there's this problem. We have 20,000 people in the middle of nowhere, and they're hungry. I don't know if you guys have ever been so excited about something that you just went with it. So excited you didn't even think about food. And then suddenly you realize, wow, I'm kind of hungry. Oh yeah, I forgot to eat my dinner. Forgot to eat my breakfast. That's my problem. So, we had 20,000 hungry people in the middle of nowhere, and here's what I think happened. I think the disciples were kind of getting hungry. You know, I think it was actually maybe the disciples themselves were starting to feel that rumbly tummy, and you know what, I think they had this idea, well, why don't we go to Jesus, and we'll just tell Jesus that the people are starting to get hungry. You know, we're doing fine. Jesus, we're doing really great. We could keep going, hours, days, but the people are hungry, man. We got to give them some food. You know, you can imagine them coming up to Jesus saying, you know, Jesus, this is a really great sermon. You know, it's been going on 8 hours. It's more of a sermon series now, but it's really good stuff. And we could keep going, but we're getting hungry. So what does Jesus do? He talks to Philip. Philip was one of Jesus's friends. And he says to Philip, Philip, what would you do? What would you do about this situation? And it's interesting because in Philip's response, I think we see something that is quite, is well known to us. This is a response that I think typically we might have. When we have a problem, a really big problem, Philip's response, I think, is quite normal for us. So what does Philip do? He immediately just starts to count the money. Philip knows, okay, we have 20,000 people, we need to feed them, and his answer is just to realize, well, we could never really have enough money to feed these people. Philip immediately starts counting the beans. He's a bean counter. That's his kind of style. And immediately, his answer to the problem, his solution, where does his mind go? He starts counting the money and realizes this isn't going to work. And I think this is quite normal for us, that when we have a problem, we start thinking, okay, how can I fix it? What do I have to fix this problem? But here, the problem is that they don't have what it takes to fix the problem. They don't have enough money. So Jesus was testing Philip. He was trying to get Philip to come up with this answer, and Jesus knew what to do, but he wanted to see what Philip would do. And we see that Philip has this response, talking about money, looking at his own resources to fix the problem. So what happens next? Well, Jesus is the one who has the answer. Jesus is the one who can fix the problem, and he knows this, and he wants to show the disciples who he is. Well, we saw on the video, and we read in our text this morning, that there was a little boy who had brought his lunch. And what did he have in his lunch? He had some bread and some fish. I don't know, maybe some sushi, maybe some tuna, some salmon, some anchovies. I don't know what it was, but I don't know. A lot of Vancouver people love their sushi. In England, we don't like sushi. We don't We don't eat sushi. We like to cook our food before we eat it. So I hope they were cooked food. I'm actually coming onto the sushi train a little bit slowly, but surely. But yeah, I'm assuming it was some cooked fish, because that's how we like to eat our fish in civilized culture. We cook it and we eat it. So he had some cooked fish and some bread. And this was a tiny little packed lunch. Could you imagine going to school with your lunch and suddenly the principal said, you know what? None of the other kids have food, and we're going to take your lunchbox and we're going to feed everyone. Your little lunch with your sandwiches and your fruit and your little fruit snacks, that's going to feed everyone. And the principal sits everyone down, and you got maybe 1,000 students lined up. And you think, this is not going to feed everyone. And this is what Jesus did. He gets the disciples to go and make everyone sit down. And Jesus has this little lunch. And the disciples are walking around going, are you serious, Jesus? Okay, like, we're just, guys, just sit down. Jesus is going to do something. It's going to be fine. And they're just walking around getting everyone to sit in groups. And we actually know from another account in Matthew that they were sitting down in groups of 20. So we had all these little groups of people sitting down. And Jesus is just at the front holding this bread. Or as we saw in the video, he's holding the bread like this. And what happens next? Well, Jesus gives the disciples the bread and he tells them to go and start handing it out. So I could just imagine if I was one of those disciples, I have one of these loaves of bread and just go up to the first person, break off just a flake, just a little flake to everyone. I've got to make this last for about 5,000 people. So I'll just take it, just take a crumb, just take a crumb, and then just a fish, maybe just taking off one little scale. You know what? That's your scale there today. That's going to fill you up. But no, that's not what happens, is it? Because what we see happen is a miracle. As they start handing out the bread, as they start handing out the fish, something incredible happens. It keeps multiplying and multiplying. And they hand it out, and it's not running out. And they hand it out, and it's not running out. And it gets to the end, and all 20,000 people have managed to eat lunch. And not only that, it's such a big miracle that at the end, there are 12 bags left over. And I like to think that there were 12 disciples, 12 bags. Jesus just wanted his disciples to kind of have a goodie bag to go home, something to remember what Jesus has done. This is amazing because we see Jesus do something here that we could never do. Jesus does a miracle. We have a problem. We can't fix it. We don't have enough bread. We don't have enough money to buy food. But Jesus, he can create food out of nowhere. He does a miracle and shows his disciples just how powerful he is. Yes, absolutely. Jesus is powerful. But here's the thing. If we look at what happened, there was a little boy and all he had to give was just a little lunch. And the disciples, and perhaps us when we read it, we look at that little lunch and we think, that's not going to feed 20,000 people. But Jesus can take what we have, what little we have, even if it's nothing. Jesus can take it, he can multiply it, he can use it, and he can show his power through us, even when we have nothing. So that's the situation. The disciples didn't have what it takes. They didn't have anything, but Jesus had everything. The problem is that so often, rather than looking to Jesus right away, we look to ourselves. We do what Philip did, and here's a problem. We come across a problem, and straight away we start to figure out, how can I fix it? What can I do? What money can I use? What person can I call? What can I do to fix the problem? But often we realize that's never going to work. And we forget that Jesus himself, Jesus, God, is right with us. He is our friend. We can look to him. We can ask him. And he is powerful. He can create anything out of nothing. Jesus has the answer. It's a story that I really like of, it's this little boy. And now that I have a little boy, I'm imagining it's Peter in a few years. It's little Peter. And there's a sandbox. And there's a dad who's watching his kid out of the kitchen window playing in the sandbox. This is little kid. And this little kid starts to realize that there's some rocks in his sandbox. And he goes up to the rock. And this starts with the little ones. And he wants to get all of these rocks out of his sandbox. So this little boy's going up and he's picking up the rocks and he's throwing them out of the sandbox. He just wants it nice and clean. And they start to get a little bigger, so he has to try a little harder. And eventually it gets to a rock that is so big that this little boy, no matter how hard he tries, this little boy can't move this rock. And he's just trying with all of his might, with all of his strength to move this rock, but nothing's happening. He can't do it. And he starts to cry. And the dad goes out and says, "Son, what's wrong?" He's like, "Dad, I can't move this rock." And the dad says to the boy, have you tried with all of the strength that's available to you?" He's like, "Dad, I'm trying, watch." And he starts again, and he's just trying. And the father says, "Son, have you tried with all of the strength that's available to you?" And once again, the boy's just pushing. He's like, "Dad, this is everything I have." Once again, the father says, "Have you tried with all of the strength that's available to you?" And the boy says, "Yes, I have." And the father says, "No, you haven't. You haven't asked for my strength. You haven't asked me to help." I think this is a story that shows us perhaps how we treat Jesus sometimes, which is that there is a huge problem in front of us. It seems like a rock that we could never move, and we try and we push, and we could never do it by ourselves. And we forget that watching us, the person who is with us, our God, Jesus, is with us closer than a closest friend, and we can turn to him, we can ask him for help, and he is strong enough to move any and every rock. This story shows us something amazing, that with Jesus, anything is possible. When we come across a problem in life, when something doesn't go right, and we realize that we can never fix it by ourselves, we can look to Jesus and trust that he is there with us, that he can do anything through us. You know what? This is just speaking to the adults now. I think that this really, just a simple truth, really challenges us, because even this week, as I'm preparing this message, I realized the amount of times in one day that I didn't follow this principle. The amount of times that big and small problems came up, and immediately I became stressed because I realized I don't have what it takes to fix this right now. I need more money. I need more time. I need greater gifts. And I started to feel deficient about myself. And as I'm writing this message for the kids this morning, I think it was on Thursday, I'm just writing this down, and I realized that it's coming up pretty soon to the time where we have to move house, because through a situation, our houses that we're renting is going to have to be taken down, and we're going to need to find a new place. And I don't know if you've looked at Tri-City Rent these days, but it's not good. It's gone up and up and up. And what we're paying now is a lot less than what we're going to have to be paying. And I was just getting so stressed. I even had to get up and kind of just walk around. And as I'm writing this message about Jesus can do anything, I'm just standing up and I'm stressing about this housing issue. And it just took me a second to realize, what am I doing? I'm learning, and I'm seeing right here the kind of God that I serve, that I trust, the kind of God that knows me, Jesus Christ himself, who is with me. And I'm reading this, and I'm preparing to teach the kids this morning that with Jesus, anything is possible, yet I'm just sitting there stressing about rent. Like, what am I doing? You see, in that situation, the same thing. I was going like Philip. I was being a Philip. I was counting my money. I was looking at my income thinking, this just isn't going to work. Then I realized Jesus is with me, and he truly is who he says he is. And the same Jesus here providing food for them can provide me accommodation. He can meet my needs in his name and by his power. And I just started to pray, and I asked Jesus, this is something that I don't see the immediate solution to, but I know who you are. I trust you. Would you help me? And immediately that peace just came over me, recognizing that even issues like that, where I'm going to live, I can trust Jesus with those things. I can come to him with those things. And big problems, small problems, tiny problems, we don't have to only look to ourselves for the answer. We can look to Jesus and trust that with Jesus, we can do anything. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for this miracle that we see. We thank you that it displays just how powerful you are. God, would you help us when we have problems to look to you first? We're so quick to look to what we don't have. We're so quick to think about how we can't fix the problem. And it can take us a while to come to you. And I ask, would you help us to trust you? Would you help us to look to you in all things? Jesus, we want to trust you with our problems, big and small. Help us to depend on you. And I just pray this morning for those people who have big problems in their life right now. Would you help them to come to you, Jesus, to trust you in these situations? Even if that solution doesn't seem like it's coming miraculously as quick as this bread did, I pray that we would remain faithful, Lord, that we would trust you even to the end. We love you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.